Father, thank you so much this morning for the opportunity to get to invest in men. Now, I know, Father, that you have given us this word. You've given us Proverbs for us and for the huge work that we do as dads in the lives of our daughters and in particularly our sons. And so, Father, this morning, may all of us as dads remember that you are a God of a second chance. You are a God who is able to work everything together for our good. There is not a mistake that we have made. There is not a fumble that has been part of our history. There is nothing in our lives as fallible men that you cannot take and bring good even out of the midst of that. You're able to bless us. You're able to put your hand on our homes. And no matter how we began, we can end well. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, we invite you to be here and that your word will speak to our hearts as men, and that today will be a day for us as guys to just gather together, arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder to do the work of men. So thank you, Father. May you stir our hearts as the leaders you've intended us to be, that we will fulfill your calling on our lives as dads. Thank you for these guys being here this morning. We bless you now, Father, as the Father of our soul. In your Son's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. All right. It's just great to, as I said, to have all of you here this morning for Father's Day. I think Father's Day is a real special time. I don't know how it ranks in comparison to Mother's Day. There was one little boy was asked to define, said, how would you define Father's Day? And his answer was, well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. So, you know, maybe that's true. You know, I don't know. So we'll see, dads, as the day progresses. I want us to dive into chapter 2 this morning of the book of Proverbs. I enjoy being in Proverbs. It's just these pithy statements, these little short blurbs that carry so much weight. Let's read the first 8 verses here in Proverbs. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Because if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Let me start off this morning, guys, if you will. If you get out your life point outline this morning, let me just dive into what is just really the core and the crux of everything that I want you and I to just focus on this morning, because this really made me to rethink and to consider some things about the raising of my own two boys. And that is, if you look at the insight, here's the insight I want us to see. There are two areas where men biblically are too passive. We are too passive in the area of discipline of our children, boys and girls, and protection. In other words, we tend to be, if we're not careful, too passive in giving corrective discipline to the kids and in protecting them, protecting their minds, protecting their hearts, as well as protecting their lives. We think about protecting them from physical harm. We'd take a bullet for our children, right? Amen? We'd do whatever that is required. But a lot of times we just forget that there are other things our sons and our daughters need to be protected from. And so that's what this message is really all about. And here's why I say that. Because when you begin to read the Word, one of the things that becomes really clear is this. The Bible makes a statement that there is a long-term, devastating effect on society. And we're already seeing it in our country. There's this long-term, devastating effect when men do not pick up their role, when they abandon the role to discipline and protect in the home. This long-term national effect eventually comes about when there is a plethora of men who abandon their role of disciplining their sons and protecting the mind and the heart of their sons from the thing they ought to protect from. You say, Pastor, where is that written in the Word? Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Now just listen to what God said to dads. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. I was for some time that passage really bothered me. And at first I was thinking, wow, my sin can be visited upon my sons, my grandsons, my great and my great-great-grandsons. And God will bring punishment on them because of what I've done. That was at the beginning of ministry when I first came across this. Then I began to realize, and God began to show me, that is a false statement. And here's the reason why. Because in Exodus chapter 18, thank the Lord, God forbids that a son should pay for the sins of his father. God said the son shall not pay for the sins of the father, nor the father pay for the sins of the son, but every man shall pay for his own sin. Aren't you glad of that? So that's a comfort. So what does Exodus 20 and verse 5 mean? That God will visit the sins of the fathers upon the sons to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate him. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, John, you put your name in there as a dad. When you lead your family from a viewpoint, from a position of weakness, when you are not the man that I want you to be, and what I mean by that is this. When you fail your son or your daughter to protect and discipline him and her as the moral leader of your home, you and I are the watchdogs of morality in our home. It isn't our wife, it's us. We're the ones who are to shut the door on immorality hitting our homes. It's us. That's what God decides. And he says, when you and I fail to steer our sons, and I'm going to focus on sons, and I'll share that reason why. Somebody said, well, I don't have a son, I got a daughter. Well, it applies to daughters, but it's really, really focused towards sons. It's really important for those of you who have boys to listen to what he's going to say. He says, when you are a dad and you fail to steer your son away from the sin of disrespect for authority, that is learned by our sons from us as men. Here's what God says. When you have not taught your son respect for authority, when you have not taught him and disciplined him as the moral leader in your home, he said, it is going to take me as God 3 to 4 generations for me to root out the evil in your family lineage that you permitted to get a hold and a grip on your family heritage. In other words, I am responsible for God for the sin that gets a grip on my family. That God said, I put you, my son,
as the watchman over the door of your house. I made you the watchman. So what are we seeing in America today? When we see the rioting in the streets, when we see the young men morally molesting young women, getting young women pregnant out of wedlock, when we see young men disrespectful of authority, when we see young men on national television jumping up and down on police cars, God forbid that that was my son or your son, amen? Huh? That ought to be a shame to us. And every time I see that, I think, that's some man's boy right there. Some man's son got a young girl pregnant. Some man's son is caught up in pornography. Some man's son is beating his wife. Some man's son is mistreating his children. And what God is saying is that as dads, we need to realize that the Father has given to us this responsibility that when our boys are little, that is a time for us to start out getting their heart. If there's one thing, and I'll probably say it more than one time, do not lose the heart of your son. You can command your son to obey you, but you cannot command him to love you. You earn his love. And I talk about sons more so than daughters, not because God knows daughters don't need directing. Can I get an amen? But there is a particular responsibility for dads with sons. Boys tend to be, on the whole, more rebellious than girls. That's by God's design. God designed it that way. He made men that way. As men, we have this innate drive within us to be leaders and to be protectors. It's in your son. And you ought to cultivate that. But it has to be directed. And so here's a truth I want you to notice in your outline. God's plan is that godly fathers will teach their sons and impact the mothers, or the wife of the dad. And then the godly sons will impact the daughters of the next generation. Well, God wanted this guide. This is his desire. And so he wanted a guide for dads to be able to follow, kind of a manual, if you will, to be able to direct the boys. And so here's the truth in your outline. Proverbs is the basic resource book for fathers to use on their sons. And if you start in chapter 1, you'll see that it goes all the way through even like the first 10. The first 10 chapters are really about fathers leading their sons. The first 10 chapters of the 31. Chapter 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. 2, verse 1, my son, if you will, receive my saying. 3, 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. 4, 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. 4, 10, hear, my son, and accept my saying. And on and on and on it goes. All those first 10 chapters. Now, let me give you a Bible maxim, if you will. It's in your life point outline. That is, as fathers go nations, so go generations, and so goes history. That's just what God is saying in the scripture. The Lord is saying there is this incredible responsibility that is on us as men about how our young sons turn out. And now I know some of you say, but Pastor, this is going to be a real hard message because I have a lot of things that I'm grieved about with how I was at the beginning. That's why I say God is a God of a second chance, right? God is a God who, how many of you know stuff about golf? You up with golf? Any of you golfers? Okay. So God,
God's good at giving us a mulligan. You know, you just, you know, the ball just goes way off, and you got to say, okay, go get it, pull it up, put it back on the green. I'll give you, you know, give you another shot on that. And so God is good about giving us a second chance. And when I turn my son over to the Lord, God is able to bring good out of a mess. Isn't that good news? God can do that if you and I will do what he tells us to do here in Scripture. And so what God has done is he's taken the basic principles that he wants me to put into my son, and he's given it to him in Proverbs. So I've got this manual. Now, let me tell you what Proverbs is about. Here's the definition in your outline. A proverb is a principle in concise terms for easy remembrance. It's a little pithy statement that just kind of just, you know, it's just there, and you can grab hold to it. And so if dad's here today, if we're going to raise up a godly generation of young sons or young grandsons who will then lead young women to godliness, then you and I as dads have got to teach the truth of Proverbs to our sons. We've got to get it into them. I was reading, just doing a reading about getting ready for the message, and I read about this little boy who said, when he was talking about dads, he said, well, the primary duty of my dad is to take out the trash. You know, that is so not true. The primary duty of a dad is not to take out the trash. We may do that, but that's not our primary duty. And I'll tell you another thing. It is not the primary duty of a dad to bring home the bacon. Kind of rattles you, doesn't it? It's not the primary duty. Because we get to that, and we think, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm bringing home the money. You know, I'm keeping everything afloat. You know, it's not my primary duty as a dad to fix something that's broken, for which Catherine is grateful. You know, I told you, whenever I pick up a hammer, Catherine says, what are you doing? Here's the truth in your outline. The primary duty of a father is to teach holy living primarily to his sons. That's what I get from Holy Scripture. And overarching all that a father teaches his son, God says, teach them wisdom. Let me give you a definition for that. Wisdom is not just how a son thinks. It is how he acts. And God says, I want every one of you men who chase after me, I want you to teach your son that the wisdom of heaven is the greatest pursuit of their life. That your son understands that dad, above everything else, just wanted me to learn how to be a wise man. And that means that I live by the wisdom of heaven. And so today and next Lord's Day, I want to unwrap just some lessons here from the book of Proverbs. I can't do all of them, but let me just pick out some of the main ones, all right? So number one this morning, I'll do this Sunday and Lord willing next Sunday. So this morning, number one, at the top of the list, teach your son, number one, to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here's what God says. God says, everything that I want your son to learn, everything at the top of the list that I want you to put into the heart of your son is this. You teach your son to fear the Lord, to fear him. Now, that means two things. Number one, positively. There is a positive aspect to it. What that means is, if I'm going to fear the Lord, that he has what you ought to have as a dad for the Lord, that you have this reverential respect. I did not, when I was growing up, dad and I were not really close. I was probably a lot closer to my mom or whatever. And I don't know if it's because dad wasn't close to his dad. I don't know about that. I didn't even know enough to ask the questions when I was growing up. But here's the thing. I knew my dad was a stern disciplinarian, but I never was afraid of my dad's hand. My dad never hit me. Does that make sense? So I wasn't afraid of his hand. And that's one of the things I want to teach my boys. I didn't want my boys to be afraid of my hands. And that's why I worked really hard at remembering whenever I disciplined them, I did not spank them with my hands. Because I want to be able to touch them with my hands. And I want my hands to be something that they knew I would use to hold them
and to express my love to them. But God has taught us to fear him. And that means that I have a reverential respect for my Father God. And there is this awe that I have about God. And that's what you want to get across to your son. Dads teach their sons what God is like. We teach them as they are growing up that God is omnipotent. He has all the power that's needed. That he is above anything and everything. God is holy. That means he has no special respect for anybody. That God will discipline me as their dad, and he will discipline them. That because I teach my boys, hey, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean God's going to give me special favors. God is holy, and he doesn't give passes to anybody, and you understand that. And God is all-knowing. He is omniscient. I cannot keep anything from him. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. God is in the dark. He's in your room. He's everywhere around you. You never get away from him. He is immutable. He doesn't change. And I warned the boys to understand that God is never moody. You can always know that God will be the same every day of your life. He never changes. And he is loving. He is merciful. He orders the affairs of your life for his glory and for your good. God is the center of everything in your life. And I wanted Joel and Kristen to understand that they can never get away from him. And then number two, there is a negative side to that. I wanted my boys to understand, and God says, I want you to teach your sons to fear the displeasure of God, just like they would fear your displeasure. That you're not, it's not that you're going to beat them, it's not that you're going to slap them, it's not that you're going to knock them around and abuse them, but you will discipline them. And because of that, they have a healthy fear of your displeasure. They need to fear God's right to punish them. They need to fear God's ability to chasten them in a plethora of ways, that God has so much at his disposal. Our sons must be taught to have a sense of apprehension when they live an unholy life, that it will ultimately cost them. Why? Because they cannot get away from him. Yeah, you know why that's important? Because ultimately, they're probably going to leave home and go off somewhere to college, right? Thank you. And so, but even if they don't, if they move out, you know, and go somewhere, we always thought that Joel would always be close to home, and Christian would probably be somewhere off in like Colorado. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to go see Christian, I'm going to have to drive like 14 hours. Then I'm going to have to get out of the car, and we're going to have to get on horses or dune buggies in order to get back into the woods somewhere. And then Joel will always be close at home. We have to drive 6 hours to get to Joel. He is in the country, and Christian is just down the road. You never know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how things are going to turn out. But God simply says, no matter where your kids are, you cannot always be there with them. And you want your kids to grow up with this understanding that they may not be in your sight, but they're never out of God's sight. Amen? You want them to understand that. And right now, God says the way that you teach your sons and your daughters to fear, to have a reverential fear of the Lord, is that they watch you worship him. You see, the reason that I surrendered to preach is because I fear him. Once I was born again, I immediately got a fear of the Lord, that he is with me, he is around me. What is it that brings you here week in and week out? God says it is a reverential fear of the Lord. You don't want to get away from him. And so here's what I want to say to you this morning, guys. Right now, are your sons and your daughters learning to worship God by watching you? Grandparents, do your grandkids learn to worship God because they see how you are a faithful worshiper? Do they see it is consistent in your life, that they realize it is a non-debatable for you? It isn't that you worship as it kind of works into your schedule, but worship is something that you do. Here's the truth in your outline. Your worship pattern is your son's pattern and will most likely be your grandson's. So you need to understand that. So dad, do you live with a healthy fear of God's right to punish sin in your life? And you show that by how you live your life. Listen to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Now here's what God is saying. He says, if you are focused on God, this is what we teach our sons. If I'm focused on God, God will guide my feet. How do I make right decisions in my life? That's a good question to ask your son. How does dad do that? He does it because he fears the Lord and because I put myself before the Lord. See, that's what Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Hebrew word for trust means to lie helplessly face down. In other words, you pass along to your son. Do you know how I live before the Lord? I live before the Lord. Your dad lives before the Lord on his face. There are times, my son, when you're not around, when I am on my face before the Lord. Because I realize that whatever happens in my life, God is in control. And in everything in me, I just seek to submit myself to him. How I do in this life, how I get ahead in this life is because of him. And I just want you to know, as your dad, I live with this sense of humility before God, that God is able to do in my life whatever he wants to do. And I just want to be submissive to that, even if I don't understand it. And so here's the truth. When God is feared, so is sin. And the end result of sin is death and destruction and misery. So dad, why should you teach your son, and why should your son listen to you about chasing after the Lord? Let me tell you what I found from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs says, fearing the Lord prolongs life. It is better than wealth because it gives life enjoyment. It helps you sleep at night. It guards you from evil. It results in riches and honor. So dad, listen, if you want your son to have his life prolonged, to be kept from evil, to be brought honor and riches, to be a humble man, unfilled with pride and arrogance and just full of himself, untouched by evil, then teach him to fear the Lord. And you will never teach that convincingly unless your son sees that you fear the Lord. And how do you show him that? You show you fear God by the decisions that you make, by the way that you worship, and by what comes out of your mouth. That's how you show it. And then number two, I've got to move quickly. Number two is guard their mind. I want to teach my son to fear the Lord and to guard the mind. Let not truth forsake you. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Proverbs 4, 23. Watch over your heart, in other words, your mind, with all diligence. From it flows the springs of life. Listen, my sons, your daughters, have got to be taught that it is hugely important what they read. It is hugely important what they watch, what movies they go to, what they watch on television as a family or as an individual, and what they listen to in their earbuds. It is hugely important. Here's the truth in your outline. Protect your child from what they are exposed to. That's what we're supposed to do as dads. Is to make sure that the right stuff is going into their minds. Here's the truth in your outline. Children and young teens, talking about 13, 14, 15, have to be protected from themselves as well as the world around them. Now, I want to make a statement that the kids that are here this morning may not be really excited about, but I think it needs to be said, okay? Dads, here it is. Now, here's the truth. There is no such thing as a right to privacy for children and very young teens. I'll hear that all the time. Well, I don't want to invade their privacy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If they are a child, if they're not even a teen yet, they don't have a right to privacy. That's why God gave them to you. Dads need to know what is going on in our, we need to know what's going on in our children's life in two primary areas, social media and relationships. And this is becoming more and more a truth. As a dad, and I just wrote this down, I can't repeat this verbatim without reading it, so here it is. As a dad, you and I should be engaged in 2016, and from here on, we need to be informed, engaged, and in charge of Facebook, the apps on their phone, Instagram and Snapchat, the texts that they're sending on their phones, the sites that they visit, what they buy on iTunes, the lyrics of the songs they listen to, the games that they play online. You need to be involved in all that for preteens and young teens. And here's the next truth. Children and young teens are not little adults. They are children in desperate need of protection and guidance in decision making. And that means that as a parent of your son or very young teen, that they need to understand, sit down and very lovingly, because why? Because they are little people, even though they're not adults. And you always respect them as a person. You honor them. But you understand there is an area of responsibility here. They're responsible to you under God. And so you let them know at this stage in your life, as dad, I want you to know, I reserve the right. It is my responsibility. When you're not at home, I will go into your room and I will look around. You need to be aware of that. I will do it. You need to know there will be times I will take your phone and I will check out your text. There will be times I will check your history on the internet and where you have been online. I will look at your face. In fact, if somebody said, I know there's an age limit on Facebook, but your child shouldn't even have Facebook if you're not a friend. Everything they send out ought to come through you. And so here's the last truth in that. Trust can be given and should be, but only with accountability. And when your child loses your trust, they have to earn it back. Amen? Huh? They have to earn it. Trust is earned. And that brings you to my last thought, and that's this, about parental obedience. These are the three huge things. Fear the Lord, guard the mind, and obey parents. 3 verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord nor loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he what? For whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines, chastens, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 10 verse 13, a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Or as my mom would say, the legs work well too. And what it means is that when your son doesn't obey you, when he doesn't behave the way that he should, you use a rod. And I've always said, you always use a little keen switch about half the size of your little finger. You never bruise a child. If you do that, that is just wrong. You never do that. But those little switches are like a weed eater on the legs, and it will connect. So here's the truth in your outline. Discipline conforms our sons to wisdom. It breaks self-will. It removes foolishness. It delivers him from spiritual death. And it makes him a delight to your home. I needed that. You needed that. And our children needed that. I am not being a parent if all I do is talk to my son when he does wrong. If all I do is warn him. And certainly if I just yell and threaten. But I never discipline with pain and displeasure. That is not loving your child. Fathers teach their sons to obey. And they use a rod to reinforce, because God says that physical punishment done in love, not in anger and wrath, will correct bad behavior. That's what God says. And so here's the next truth. The payoff of biblical discipline done in love is peace. I just want to ask you, is there peace in your home? Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you peace and he will bring delight to your soul. Two key words, peace and delight. And as a parent, that's what ought to be in your home. Your home, every home here ought to have peace and ought to have delight, even with a 4-year-old, even with an 8-year-old, even with a 13-year-old. And when you're around children who are a delight to be around, when they're not always fighting and bickering and arguing, and they talk kindly to you. They talk with an air of respect to you. I want to tell you something. Kids are not naturally good kids. Those kids, when they behave that way, it's because that's the way they were raised. And make no mistake, they have been disciplined. They have been disciplined. You say, I don't understand. My kids are just different from the others. I just can't. No. All the kids are the same. They're all the same.
They're all the same. And all it takes is biblical discipline. And here's the last truth. It is not my job for my child to always like me, but it is my job that he will always respect me. He must always respect me. And peace in the home doesn't happen. It's enforced. So I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. We're going to have an invitational time. Dads, I want to give you an opportunity before we close this morning just to commit some things. Because this is for you. And my encouragement to you this morning is that you'll just start the journey. You just start the journey. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to call this morning. Guys, I want to call you just to come and stand up here with me. I want to just pray over you as dads. And there's going to be some of you dads, and so let's just stand before the Lord with heads bowed. Will you just stand? And I want you to be sensitive. There may be some guys who want to come out past you. Just be sensitive and move and let them get by. I want to call dads this morning because what you want to be praying for, you just want to come and you want to pray for God to give you strength to not be passive as a dad in the home. I just don't want to be passive. I want to do what you've called me to do, Father. That you want to come this morning because you want to discipline your sons in love and for it to be a consistent thing. That you want to live before your sons and your daughters a God-honoring life. And dads, there's some of you I want to invite you this morning to come because you've put raising and disciplining the children primarily on your wife. And I want you to take it back. I want you to take this morning disciplining your son as primarily your job and not your wife's. And that you just come and say, God, I want to be the husband. I want to be the dad you want me to be. So, Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for the word. Thank you for what it's taught us.